They perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God paid them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide. The Savior.
The Mission Trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4:35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Acts 16:9-10. Down through the history of the church, God has called different people to fulfill special missions for him. Paul was called to preach the gospel unto those of Macedonia. Others have been called into remote areas of the world, and God has stood by them as they answered and fulfilled that call. Faith Stewart was one of those who felt a very definite call of God to the mission fields of India. I'm going to give you some of her experiences from the book Highways and Hedges, of which Grace G. Henry is the author. First, the call of God. But all this time, there burned in her heart a longing to go to the mission field, a longing and burden so keen that no amount of labor and sacrifice seemed to satisfy. One night, quite late, with the weight of the burden on her soul for missions, and desiring to know and have a definite leading from God, she walked down alone to the beach. Here the restless waves beat upon the shore. No one shared the beauty of the night with her, and all about was quiet, save the sound of the lapping of the restless waves as they rippled and flowed, and the deadened sounds of darkness. She sat alone on the sandy beach, looking out over the vast expanse of the waters and communing with God. In that hour, she cried out to God in the deep of her heart to make his will definitely known to her. She felt that the place whereon she sat was holy ground and sacred, that surely this night she was alone with God. She looked at the moving waters in the darkness and the vaunted dome of the heavens, and God seemed very near. That night was always outstanding to her. She remembered it as clearly as in the first years. As she sat gazing intently into the dark heavens above her, slowly out of the blanket of night, far above the tossing waves, and pictured on the skies above, many, many little faces with arms outstretched were reaching out to her. Her whole soul was stirred within her, for she knew that God was speaking to her through this vision in the heavens, and she cried out, oh God, where are they? Slowly, a change came over the scene. There appeared on the darkened sheet of the evening sky letters in blazing light, as plain as the handwriting on the wall. They appeared just above the group of little faces. The message slowly spelled out, India's helpless little ones are calling you. It was enough. Her call from that hour was a definite definitely settled thing, a very part of her life. But from that night alone with God at the Oceanside, 9 long years passed, praying, seeking, serving, waiting. And every in heart and mind her face was set toward the little faces and outstretched hands over the sea. Anything that could help to hasten the hour of departure, she sought to do. As Faith Stewart waited for God to fulfill this call to go to India, she accepted a pastorate in Houston, Texas. Instead of encouragement, frequently letters came to her presenting the fact that, in their opinion, she was unprepared for such a task. Also, they mentioned that her frail health would most certainly not permit her to go as a missionary to the foreign fields. Besides this, there were no funds to finance the opening of such an institution or to support it. So the call, as far as they were concerned, could not be of God. We cannot imagine the heaviness of heart, the waiting day after day, month after month, year after year, a weight that grew heavier with each delay, the call to the field being clearer and clearer with time. Would the door to the beloved work never open? Time was passing, and little arms reached over toward her from waiting India. Something must be done. Some effort must be made as she waited to obey the call. But what? What more than had already been done? She entered into fasting and prayer with the decision not to break it until God answered by opening the door for her going forth. It was during this great fast that she received a letter from J.W. Phelps. "There is," he wrote, "something here very difficult for me to understand. The finances here are low, and we are in dire need of funds for other things. But a fund of $100 has been sent to the office with the request that it be used to get Faith Stewart to the mission field." The writer says that although he is not a believer in God, he believes in Faith Stewart. Also, he asked that his name is not to be disclosed, nor the fact that he has sent the money to a Christian cause. "Do you know anything about this?" She wrote back, "This man is a neighbor, a very close one, living in the other half of the duplex where I reside in Texas. The reason he does not believe in God is because he does not know God. The reason he believes in me is that he does know me and has watched my life from day to day." This was the answer to 3 days fasting and prayer. As for the infidel neighbor who sent the gift for missions, God rewarded him by saving his soul. Now, Faith Stewart was a frail woman in body, and some of those who were to assist her in going to India said, "You only weigh 98 pounds now, and probably have just 3 months to last in a land like India." And she answered, "I would rather live 3 months in the will of God in India than 10 years in the homeland." There was no special avenue for the support to come through in those days, or to supply funds after going. The leaders at home took what came in and conscientiously gave out equally to each one. As she stood by, the secretary pulled out a small drawer and poured out the money that lay in it. And with what she had in hand, there was enough just to buy her ticket to New York, but nothing for her extra expenses. She reached New York and visited Grand Avenue Mission, where everything was arranged for her sailing. The ship Mauritania was to sail at 1 a.m. the next morning. That evening, there was a prayer meeting held upstairs. As she was coming down the stairs to go to the entrance, the young son of Mr. Blewitt, who had just received his first pay for working 1 month, rushed in saying, "I want to give you something." He handed her a $5 gold piece. This was the only money she had with her to go to a foreign land alone, but she was content. Someone has said, whom God calls, he also qualifies. And so it was. When God called Faith Stewart to the field, he also qualified and equipped her for the great work she was to do. Hindered in childhood by poor health and eyes that were not strong, she was not able to obtain the education that many young people attain. But through the many years of preparation, she made such good use of what she had that no person meeting her could ever discern any like. The author Grace G. Henry continues, no salary was hers. She lived and served all her life without a personal salary on the mission fields. God supplied her needs and the needs of the homes. She only asked the approval and blessing on her labors. No missionary ever went forth and asked for less. Friends, does that not sound to you like a life of faith? Let us have faith in God. Be sure to hear the broadcast next week and more on the very interesting and profitable life of Faith Stewart as a missionary to Cuba. Now, let us pray. Our Father, stir our hearts with a holy zeal from heaven, and may we be faithful to carry the everlasting gospel until it shall spread over land and over sea, that all may have an opportunity to hear and be saved. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's a song, Praise Jehovah. The singers are Lynn and Alma Carver, Arnett and Genevieve Carver.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise His name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all His angels praise proclaim. All His hosts together praise Him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise Him, all ye men of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praise His Jehovah, for His name alone is high.
And His glory is exalted.
It has been a pleasure to bring you this short message, and we hope that in turn we may have proven a blessing to someone in need. If we may be a help to you in a spiritual way, be sure to let us know. Address your letter to The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. And now, until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God's richest blessings be with each and every one of you, and a very cheerful goodbye.